praying for the city tonight, I thought I would just focus our thinking and our hearts around Jeremiah chapter 29. If you'd like to turn to that, if you have a Bible or on your phone, this is Jeremiah's letter to those in exile in Babylon. It's from a letter written in 594 BC, 3 years previously. Over 3,000 people, 3,023 people, had been carried into Jerusalem in exile. And now Jeremiah writes a letter to them. God has spoken to him, and he is relaying God's message to these exiles. He writes as an Israelite priest in Jerusalem. And we know that this letter is read by Daniel, because Daniel refers to it in Daniel chapter 9. So this is an important letter which is speaking to a group of people in a pagan city. I'll pick it up at verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So I want to just begin by thinking about how extraordinary it is what God does not say here through Jeremiah. He does not say to the exiles in Babylon, go underground, build worship networks, jam the system, don't cooperate with the authorities. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, stick it out here, guys, but dream of imminent return to Jerusalem. In fact, he goes on in the letter to decry that. He says it's a fantasy, that they're going to be here for 70 years. He dismantles any fantasy mindset. He says, you are here. Don't engage in the grass is greener thinking. And he doesn't say, for your own sake, just join in with the flow of Babylon. Just kind of bend into it. There was huge pressure on the exiles to do that. We know that from the story of Daniel and his friends. But he's not saying that. He doesn't say submit to the soft power of this place. What does he say? What does he want the main drama to be for these people? Well, it seems that he doesn't want it to be their drama. He wants it to be the drama of this city that he's called them to and that he's carried them to. He says, seek the peace and prosperity of this powerful pagan city whose armies have desecrated Jerusalem and your temple. It is profoundly counterintuitive, but he loves this city because the people in it are made in his image. He loves them, and he wants the exiles to bless them. I wonder if you've noticed that his words to the exiles, build, plant, increase, echo another part of Scripture. Can anyone identify it? It's Genesis 1. It's the fundamental, foundational creation mandate that God gives to humankind before the fall. Very much the same words, the same kind of imperative verbs being used. Increase, fill, subdue, and rule. So there's something really interesting going on here, that at the very moment that the people of Judah have been carried into exile, God is taking them back to that foundational call given to humankind at the beginning of creation, to rule, subdue, to order life, to bring abundance, to bless. They form a tiny minority in Babylon. But God wants them to leaven this place with their prayers. He is inviting them to dream and pray sacrificially for this place. Martin Luther King once said, "Almost always, the creative, dedicated minority has made the world better." And that is what they are, and that is what we are. We are a tiny fraction of people, realistically, within a city of 160,000 citizens. We are a tiny minority, but we are a creative minority. Yesterday, we were in a staff meeting, and Flo Judson had a prophetic picture, which is anchored in 2 Corinthians 2, where St. Paul speaks of God using us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere, everywhere. "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death, and to the other, an aroma that brings life." And when she was remembering that scripture, Flo was also remembering an exhibition that she went to a few years ago by the contemporary artist Damien Hirst, where there was a room filled with butterflies and insects. And in came Flo wearing a dress covered in flowers. And what happened? All the butterflies descended on her. But on the walls, this slightly perverse artist had put this poisonous substance that was also attracting the insects in the room. And if they weren't going to Flo or flying around, they were going to the walls and perishing. And Flo said about this, her sense of it was that we carry Jesus' presence. We carry his resurrection life. And she sensed God urging us to step forward in courage and in trust that he wants us to bless this city and others through his presence resting in us. So, the exiles are to pray for the city's well-being. The word here is shalom, and that means the city's comprehensive flourishing. There's a city council here, there are educational authorities, there's an NHS trust, and they're all seeking to make good, great, ordered plans for the well-being of this city. But these are the plans of men and women. They are not necessarily the plans of God. And what we're here to do tonight is to pray the heart of God, and if you like, the plans of God over this city. In Colossians 1:19, St. Paul writes, "God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things." So God wants the renewal of all things through us in Christ. Just as he wants us to spread the aroma of Christ, where? In some places, in some sectors of society, in the places which are friendly towards Christians. No, everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. So that's what we're doing tonight. We are joining with God in the renewal of all things. What do we know about Oxford? Let's just focus our minds about that. We know it's a strategic city. We know that it is a city filled with the nations. It is a city of town and gown and immense division. It's a city of extremes of wealth and poverty. It's a city that's been in the papers recently for quite a few different things, like topping the city that is least affordable in the country. We all know about that. It's been in the news for the deaths which have happened on the streets and in sheltered housing amongst the homeless community and the marginalized here. It's a city which was described in one poll as the most adulterous city in Britain in March 2018. And a little longer ago, you remember the Operation Bullfinch here in relation to sex trafficking, 2013. So we're praying specific prayers tonight for the well-being of the city. And I encourage you, whoever's at the mic here, join in from wherever you are in the room with your own prayers. We're going to hear from people who are working and ministering in some different sectors. And some of our prayers will probably be about coming against principalities and authorities that rule over this city. But it would also be great if a lot of the prayers were just kind of laying a foundation of blessing for the city, sowing kingdom seeds for the city. Let all our prayers tonight be made in love and for the blessing of this place where God has planted us. In the 1960s, President Kennedy was visiting the NASA facility, and he saw a janitor just sweeping the floor. And he breezed up to him and he said, "Hi, I'm Jack Kennedy. What do you do here?" And the janitor replied, "I'm helping to put a man on the moon. I'm helping to put a man on the moon." And I wonder if a celebrity or a politician turned up tonight and had kind of said to you over coffee, "What are you doing here tonight?" You could have answered a couple of different things. You could have answered, "Well, I'm here to pray," or "I'm here for this meeting called Hungry." I'd encourage you to stretch yourself tonight and say, "I'm here to join with God in the reconciliation and restoration of all things." That's a big aim, and it's a glorious aim. So let's go in that direction tonight. Can I invite the band up? Let's stand. We're going to worship now. We're going to seek the presence of God. We need to come into the presence of God, don't we? So that we can pray in his presence, kingdom come prayers. So let's turn our focus in worship to him now. Amen.